Well, good. I'm willing to magnetize people to be in a bantery kind of a mood. Who would be here? Hello?
The chorus in San Francisco has been bantering merrily.
Excellent. We want merry banter. Yes, to hearten us in midwinter.
Is this we actually that was one of Chris's questions. She was just discussing, have we made it to midwinter? Is this
Yes.
midwinter? Yes.
Today was
Oh,
midwinter.
really? Oh,
And
okay. All
it feels like it. Yes.
right. Oh,
Yeah.
spectacular.
Yeah, spectacular. That's good. Yes, and our ally Donna Royal has scouting reports from I'm going to call it Candlemas, or else the Celtic word is Imbolc, which is just not pretty. Yes, many things that we will bring in once we formally begin. But yes, and anybody else want to say hello? Or
Hello.
hello, that's good. That'll do. All right. Very good.
Sorry.
Well, that's good.
I
No,
couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself. I just.
and you may be called upon to banter,
Oh.
because we it's kind of inward. Well, although it is good to gather. I'm glad we're gathering. And
Yes. Thank God for the gathering.
hello.
What's new?
Oh, sounds like Mendocino people ish.
Oh, could be. Yes, that's right. And also, so many of our team, many things. Our trickster team, yes, moving. Many have moved. Our coyote ladies have moved, and
Hey, Coyote Gang is here.
excellent. So glad.
Me too.
Yeah, and it was cute that you said that you'd send a message to me that then got posted to everybody, but nobody really noticed. It's kind of Neptune and Pisces. There's sort of no boundaries or secrets now, like sort of what?
Oh, well,
And it's all fine.
yeah, and it is. I'm glad that's true too. Yes.
Yeah, and then many people. I had many clients reschedule because parents are exiting and things. There's deep things brewing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we're all here now.
Yeah, we're all here now. That's right, exactly. Yes, the drifting along in this boat, and participating in these mysteries in which we see in our mind's eye, yes, Persephone lighting her candle today, and slowly leading us up through the light, and we do indeed want to maintain kinship with all in the underworld. Anybody want to chime in with a scouting? Well, not quite yet a scouting report, but or maybe or a hello or a how are you feeling or anything like that. Star. Oh, no, actually everybody's unmuted. All right, be that way, and it's
Hello
perfect.
from Evangeline.
I'm sorry. Oh, Evangeline, wonderful. Yay, we like.
Minnesota.
Yes, Minnesota winter.
It's
Okay.
been a really interesting week.
Oh, what's the quality of your interesting week?
Well, my car did something so that I was left home for an entire week to just write and go deep into things, and it was a good thing.
Yes, it's like that. So your car, wise car said, "Stay home."
Yep.
Yeah. How are we effective in the world by being inward? Yes. Well, the chart is really hopping. So, all right. Let us convene. Let us begin our formal convening. Hello, everybody. Hello, Hawaii team. Hello, Minnesota team. Hello, everywhere, everyone team. Okay, we gather. Yeah, today was exactly midwinter. We're now the sun. That's when the sun arrives at 15 degrees of Aquarius, the exact middle of the fixed signs are the four gates of power, and the sun has moved forward just a smidge to 16 plus Aquarius. It's Ronald Reagan's birthday. Hey, everybody improves after death. Hello, Ronald. So yes, this deep time. So we gather to cavort. We gather our goats. We gather our autonomy from the far reaches of where they might have gone. We inhale our Saturn, our authority, our inner goat from wherever it's been cavorting into our center, and we remember our goat really, well, cavorts beside us, but it really lives three fingers right below our navel. Our hara, our center, our ballast, our autonomy, and we remember, again, ongoing practices, that if there's anything we don't like so much in our personal or collective world, we get to wonder why we would have directed the movie that way. And we get to say in a kind and loving to ourselves way, in case I've been, my Saturn, which is a goat, but also a movie director and also captain of the ship, many metaphors, all gathering those there. It's our inner goat in a director's chair on a boat. There we have it all syncretized together. So we get to wonder, why would I have been casting in my movie for this outsourcing of events in a less than desirable way in the world? You know, small kerfuffles and big things like cruelty and all of that. And we get to go, in case I have been, or we have been, complicitous, wonderful word, complicity, not shame, not blame, just means whatever is going on, we are and have been contributing our energetic mojo to that. And once we know that or entertain that possibility, we can suck it out of that undesirable thing, go withdraw, inhale back complicity, and then in our inner midwinter realm, kind of send it forth into the desirable. Known or unknown, wonder is all. I wonder what would be better, you know, kindness and kinship, you know, and manners. Always, again, may our species have manners again. So here we are. Okay, so we have our goats. We have our magic backpack. We have the pebble in our pocket that is, when overwhelmed by things, to just move one stone. We have that one stone. Oh, very good. Okay, we have all those things. So with that in mind, I realize that, you know, again, never wanting to foist personal onto our team, but I realize that part of the nature of Mars and Neptune conjoined right now, dream, some better word than warriors. Mars is our woofiness, you know, formerly known as warriorness, but it's in Pisces. Dream warrior, or I do want to compost that word, dream woof. The most effective realm is the dream world. And there is a dynamic T-square that will be kind of presiding over this whole week, but it's so powerful now. Let me say it and then kind of animate it and see if we can all feel this together. But Mars, in Neptune, and they are both squaring Jupiter at the top, at its stationing forward degree, 6 Gemini, the oasis, replenishing the waters of life, right next to the sacred goddess Vesta, keeper of the community's, you know, hearthful direction. Oh, very good. Yeah. And Jupiter is at 6 Gemini, and the moon is at 6 Sagittarius. Woohoo! Why we're going to invoke, you know, part of our team, our Scheherazade team, regardless of our temporary gender assignment and all. Yes, Mars-Neptune conjunction was exact today. Moon opposite Jupiter will be exact in, 20-something minutes, just for the fun of it. Woo, very exciting. powers of imagination. But the thing I don't want to foist on everybody, but it just came to me, going dreamy, 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 grumpy, grumpy when I can't be dreamy, 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 back into that, you know. And everything, if we're in a dreamy state and not feeling pressured, remember all signs like Pisces kind of bring into play their opposite sign Virgo, which is wonderful and discerning, but it can get critical and grumpy if it's not given enough dreaminess. Stella Coyote continues to be her splendid, informative self. you know, in the dream world in which I go, oh, I meant to go to bed early. As a client once said, I must have stayed up really late in a past life because it's all kind of spacey now. So Stella Coyote will every now and then in the morning go, that's enough, it's 9. I don't know if she has the moral authority, but she does come and pull the covers off. And I'm like, no, no, yes, yes. And I go, all right, I think you might have the moral authority. Not that she's disapproving, but she is definitely like, you must get up now. I'm like, okay. And then, yes, feeling the kind of midwinter going, must have baklava. Must have baklava and Arab coffee, yes. And call my friend Deborah. Hello, Deborah. You know, who often lives in Syria and is now in Vermont, but we share telepathically. And then apparently I must have left the baklava out because I had 1.5 pieces. And when I came back, Stella Coyote had eaten the remaining 4. And I go, oh, that's very witty. That's very witty of you. And here's your supper anyway, a chaser of raw venison after your baklava. What a good variety. And what a good kind of dream image as well. So, yes, Stella and the baklava. So dreamy, 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 grumpy, one can't be dreamy, inward, or splendid gatherings. And if you like a wonderful ally, Donna Rayal, I don't know if you feel so moved to hit *7 and just give a little scouting report on the 2 splendid gatherings that you said that you went to, that would be wonderful if you feel like that. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, goody.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm using a new ear widget. If you can't hear me, let me know, and I'll turn it up a bit.
Turn it up.
Okay. The elderly are snoozing, so I have to be a little bit quiet, but I have to keep my ear peeled in case there are any medical kerfuffles, so such is my life at the moment. But back to the weekend. Yes, Friday, had a terrific circle session with the Friday night sisters that gather. And we made a partial, otherwise known as a breed cross. And
a little hard to hear you, but that's fine because we're all underwater. But
okay.
Oh, that's better for a second.
Better.
Oh, what?
Okay.
Ah, oh, this is excellent. Nothing can stop us now. So, what is a
fabulous?
What is a parshell?
Yes, it's a Breed's cross or St. Bridget's cross that's also used by witchy people to keep the right spirits coming through the front door.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we made one of those out of cane that our fearless leader had purchased for us to use. And we had a terrific drum circle journey. We do this regularly, but I have been encouraged to take an assignment by my guides that I meet in Journey, and I accepted it in the days before this recent gathering for Imbolc, and I was rewarded in my journey with a very intense journey of affirmation. I'm going to have to work on this in addition to all the other assignments that I'm currently undergoing in this lifetime. But we had the process was that, you know, we gather together, we check in with each other. It's the women's circle. Each woman tells a little bit about what her week's been like, and then we talk a bit about what the holiday means. We have a little ritual, and then usually make something, but you know, we had the journey first, so we had imbued everything with intention when we made the partial, and then following that, we raised a cone of power and started our new year that way. And on Sunday, we were outdoors. I was outdoors with a different group, and we had our circle outdoors. A very lovely young woman and her husband, who was wearing a kilt, led us through the ritual, and absolutely lovely bunch of people, some of whom I had not met before, and perfect timing outdoors. And then we shared seeds that people had started to sprout in their homes and for others to plant, and everybody got to do a little seed exchange, and then we gathered for a potluck dinner.
Lovely.
Couldn't be more spectacular.
No, perfect. That's wonderful. You know, thank you, because it reminds us of so much. You know, what are we inviting in, the spirits, you know, say, dismissing and inviting and magnetizing. Good, good, good. Drum Journey, Cone of Power for Intentions. Yeah, it is a new beginning time, so we are continuing to clean out our houses and all of those things. And yes, but because part of the dynamic of now with Mars and Neptune, and then they square 90-degree angle to Jupiter straight up overhead, and then at 6 Gemini, and then Jupiter opposes Moon in Sagittarius, the woman trickster, redeemer, storyteller, the stalwart and crazy women who support, I want to look at popular culture too, because everything is speaking to us in the Neptune. Yes, and hello, Becky in Richmond, and Mary in Los Osos, and Ellen on the web, and all of our team. Excellent. Good, good, good. Very good. So you've been doing well. And as you embody, again, we're all in this dream together. And as you embody, I know so many people, again, who are tending elders, taking care of. And then as you are embodying a wonderful thing, Donarelle, to be tending is also to need to be replenished and to maintain one's own footing. And so part of the dynamic of the, you know, the what's called mutable T-square, well, the description can be kind of like, oh, overwhelming, you know, or what is the one little missing thing that would make it a grand square? That would be in Virgo, the Virgo realm. So we can kind of fill that in, and then the three-cornered stool has four legs to it, and it's much more stable. And so if it's like the fairy invited or not invited to the party, Virgo would be that fairy. If we invite it in through discernment and ritual and the tending of our altars in our homes, it feels good. And if not, it feels grumpy. So we go, all right. And so there is this kind of mutability, the description, it can be kind of overwhelming, like, oh, is it gonna, or, and everything kind of connected. So things are associated very quickly. This reminds me of this, which reminds me of this, which reminds me of this. And that can be a little overwhelming. And what we want to animate this night, mutability is a great skill of shape-shifting as we move into how do we become like the things for which we have concern, become coyotes, become like wolves, become like water. And Richard, you have some music lined up. You have Ami's Water Song.
I do.
That might be lovely now, because we want...
Sorry.
Oh,
Blessings to all the water.
Blessings to all the water. Thank you, Ami, longtime ally. So water, water, reverie, the qualities of water that are so strong now. And Mars says it's the most effective way to be, the qualities of water, shape-shifting, water flows, nothing is more gentle or more fierce in nature, hits an obstacle, sweeps it away, goes around it, goes underneath it, you know, the qualities of water. Again, to form these alliances with all that we hold dear, all that is in danger as the world now stands, and how are we tenders, tenders of the elders, movers into new homes, all of the different circumstances we all individually bring to our council and create a dream zone, and, you know, not quite in the way that was available to Donna and her groups outside in nature, but we can imagine that we are creating, you know, we are creating a realm now from which things can flow. You know, blessings can flow. As Mars in Pisces squares Jupiter, it reminds us and says, what replenishes us? You know, what is the one way of relating to the world that is never depleting and always replenishing? And Jupiter says, blessing, which is why, again, the practice of critiquing, decrying, but then moving, flowing right along into the blessing. There's so much out there in world that is cruel. The nature of war, the nature of drones, the nature of hunting without reverence, the strange obituaries for which I scan, the U.S.'s top sniper in Iraq killed 160 people, said after the first one, the rest was no problem, it was all remote and abstract. But he was just killed at a shooting range in, I think, Arizona, and we go, ooh, say, it's all dream. And this idea of Neptune is called the higher octave of Venus. In this language, the higher octave of intimacy, again, all in this dream world. So again, everything speaking to us conversationally in the dream world. We remember that the outer planets, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, big, big, representing big, big forces of nature's evolutionary ingenuity on, again, cultural and even biological level. But Neptune is how a culture dreams itself into being through the images and the music that circulate through mass mind, which is why it was so very kind of witty, the Super Bowl. I am not a football person, but I was, yes, live tweeting Downton Abbey, but also in, you know, to and fro, because the Super Bowl was in New Orleans, and New Orleans is rising. We have at our council our mythic team, Mars, Neptune. The mythic team is especially eager to enter into conversation with us, to enter into the stage and its myriad forms. And so the spirits of New Orleans so strong. There were the toxic, you know, Bud Light ads that attempted to do voodoo, and I'm like, oh, that's not going to be good for Budweiser to mess with that realm. But then, as many people have heard, there was the power outage, and we go, oh, New Orleans, that is so dark and witty of you to do a power outage. And the power outage might have been possibly caused, aside from the spirits of New Orleans, by the hyper yang, you know, masculinization. Deborah Felmuth gave me the masculinization, mechanization of the feminine as the halftime show, and I go, yeah, it's true. There was a conversation on Facebook that was useful. There was just this unbelievable singer. You can go to my Facebook page, Beth Hart. Part of the conversation there was people were like, whoa, how have we not heard about this person with this amazing, smoldery, soulful voice? And somebody else said, yes, this reminds us and could remind all of those with beautiful voices who've been kind of kidnapped into the underworld of pop star culture, you know, all of the famous stars and Beyonce and whatnot about, you know, to run free. Let us see them running free from the tyranny of mechanized, masculine, boring, sexy, you know, pop culture into soulful smolder, right? Because we can feel the authentically resonant. Like, so yes, the dark makes itself known verily unto the Super Bowl in the realm of New Orleans. Yes, the mega pop hyper yang masculinization machination of the feminine, the hyper electric halftime show, which might have possibly caused or contributed to the power outage. That's one story. Remember, Jupiter in Gemini says so many stories all flapping along, you know, simultaneously at any moment. And which ones do we choose to invite? It's like Donna saying, you know, at the wonderful gathering, the creating of the partial, whatever that is. We'll need to post that and maybe a picture of one, about what to invite and what to dispel. Especially now, and especially in the realm of stories, and because there's so much out there in this, here we are come, yes. But it is very reactive out there, and every now and then in the Facebook part of the dream, I can be surprised by, you know, friends, quote unquote, posting these very pro-gun positions. I'm like, really? Wow, how unusual. But it's like, no, but not to get engaged in non-useful rubber, but just to go, wow, we wonder what the antidote to that is. I like Bill Maher, you know, again, possibly being influenced somewhat because he wasn't saying tyranny is compensatory, we need them, but he kind of was, pretty close. And he said, you know, if you had a neighbor, you know, who was, you know, just in his house and buying more and more guns and more weapons to the point that he couldn't afford, you know, to send his kids to college or to fix the house or whatever, you know, you'd call that person crazy. You wouldn't call him brave, you know. And we go, yes, what is this compensatory whatever? So I do want to invite us to conjure shape-shifting blessings, you know, to all parts of our dream, the parts of ourselves, you know. And I know Sushmita had said on the Facebook thing that there's a dream work group that she's getting much value from. And yes, many, many ways to work with dreams. This is a very big dreaming winter time. Midwinter is the time of vision. It is the time of inviting vision in, and it wants to find us. Just dreaming. I have been, even with pen and paper beside the bed, dreaming, and then waking up and going, wow, that was so great, I know I'll remember it. And then it's like, whoa, into the mist. And but going to be even more, perhaps Stella Coyote will help me, but it is dreaming time. But we like teasing many, many forms, many ways to work with everything. It's like, again, part of our experiment as we continue to feel it. There are many ways of being that are useful and wonderful in the world, and many practices that are useful and wonderful in the world, and many ways of thinking and all of that. Our unique medicine that we are brewing, you know, in addition to all these, the reason I love our trickster medicine cauldron into which we're putting blessings is that it is the playful, the trickster, the unexpected, the trickster redeemer, who is really interested in the liberation of all, which is why we'll get to the powerful realm of, you know, how is the woman trickster redeemer, or the Haijon the Conqueror masculine trickster redeemer out of New Orleans, you know, interested in liberating everyone. I loved the last time I was in New Orleans, at, you know, great, you know, second line parade in Treme, large, big, you know, kind of tough looking, handsome black guy in front of me with a giant t-shirt that said, I heart haters. And we go, oh, that is so witty. That is so great. Yes, that's very good. So the more kind of where we might get grumpy at someone or something, the more the blessing. We love them. We heart them. So it's witty, playful, because we do magnetize. You know, it's very witty. I'm off to Los Angeles on Friday for a number of things at the Conscious Living Expo, at the Hilton. We'll be sending out more things to our Los Angeles team, but so I'll be doing my thing, but then also invited on to panel, be doing a panel on money and magic with old cavorting buddy Catherine Austin Fitz and new ally, Kimberly Gamble, which is very witty. Nobody tell her that I really didn't like the movie that she and her husband made. There's a movie called Thrive that many people saw and many people loved it. I did not. I was like, no. But it was very witty. I had an aversion. Down at the crazy, crazy, crazy Chichen Itza festival, the synthesis, crazy, crazy discombobulated thing. But I had a perfect time because I was in the wonderful, wonderful relationship to it, ecstatic relationship to it. We remember as we gather along in our magic backpack, we're putting our wonderful words. Ecstatic means to stand outside. And I did. I had an ecstatic relationship to the craziness, meaning I had autonomy. We want to underline. I had autonomy. So I could just dream my weird, come in and see what good could be done and do what I could and like everyone, truly like everyone. But I'd had slight conniption fits going, oh, the people who made the movie Thrive, you know. So who, of course, were my dinner partners, but the people who made the movie Thrive. And it's like meeting backstage. And I didn't talk to him as much, but I had a great time with her. And so we're doing the money and magic panel, the three of us at this thing, which I think will be very good. They used to default into kind of, you know, bad things are out to get us, you know, a little bit. I want to add the Ho'oponopono blessing of, can we throw into the cauldron our addiction to having opposition or an enemy or even a minding, even anything that, you know, we wonder, and we're all working this. But part of why I love gathering with us is we are creating a resonant field of willing experimental intention from which we can all draw, you know. So that's why, you know, chiming in is completely welcome, but the telepathic communing is fine too, that we're in accord, and certainly responsibility, if anybody wants more or less of anything, to feel welcome. Part of the dynamic of, you know, kind of group dynamic, the sun is in Aquarius still, which again, and along with Venus, in Aquarius, Venus having just entered Aquarius, which reminds us of what are the positive dynamics of group endeavor and what are the ones that make us feel, you know, grumpy. We remember the dual rulership, Saturn-Uranus, of Aquarius going structure and improv, and the entire history of humans can be that kind of dynamic of structure, up, too much structure, tyranny, improv, up, too much improv, not getting things done, right? And how that dynamic balance, and how to have in a group dynamic, you know, again, that which is, you know, a group that makes us more us, where there's a kind of living quality where we can magnetize and invite in the right mojo and spirits to support our dedicated intention. I have a really wonderful, kind of crazy, close to homeless, possibly listener in Los Angeles that I email with off, you know, quite a lot. And he's very, very discerning and fierce and smart. I value his take on things enormously. So he, for me, has a lot of credibility in realms that otherwise I might go, oh, I don't know, you know. But willing, a willing suspension of grumpitude, a willing suspension of disbelief. So he does get very grumpy about, you know, why are you flying anywhere? You know, why are you using fossil fuels? And I go, well, I'm glad you bring it up. You know, it's an interesting conundrum that we may all want to address. But he does, because he's so smart and so on it, and so he brings up, you know, UFOs and has sent me all these, you know, videos that from him, see, I take them with more credibility than from many. And he will send me notes going, oh, the aliens, they really like you. They really like your show. And I go, I don't know if that's true, but I'm charmed. I vote for that. Why not? And he says, well, they're happy to make contact. You know, they are, because they really like what you're doing. And I go, that's adorable. And from this, you know, fierce person who is not sentimental and he really does have high standards of discernment. So it's charming to me. And he says, just go out into the sky. He says he often sees them and talks to them. And anyway, I go, I don't know. It's one of those realms, sort of like the Los Angeles Conscious Living Expo, which is full of real things. I will be hosting John Trudell on the radio this Thursday because he also will be presenting at this thing on hemp, and he is a deeply substantial person. And then there's people confidently channeling from the Pleiades and, you know, whatnot, and, you know, faux science, mega popular people that I find lacking in standards, you know, whatever, but we bless them all. We bless it all. And so there are things, there are festivals, there are conferences, there are realms like the UFO realm and the crop circle realm and so on that have some mythic, authentic value, and the 9/11 researching realm. And they also are magnets for tyrannical finger wagging, you know, people. Parts of ourselves. Anyway, so my friend in Los Angeles had said, well, just go out onto the starry night. And he says, and I recommend cannabis, but that's because I'm, you know, on disability and I live in a difficult place, you know. And I go, whatever. And he says, and then just in the starry night, just close your eyes and tell a story. He says, they love stories. So I find that charming. I'm going to do that. I like the idea of benign, friendly supporters everywhere. Why not? It is a very shapeshifty time, you know, and it's like, and if it's not true, it should be true. Let's make it true. So it's that quality of spirited and profound whimsy that is part of our fuel going, I don't know, you know, we do have Virgo discernment, you know, to add to this brew here, this, you know, but always with play. And what a good idea. And if it's not true, it should be true, and let's make it true. It's very, again, the protoplasm of reality, especially susceptible to imaginative imprint. Good, yes. And our ally Azima in New Mexico, yes, and we're working on getting the radio show to you, says two things. Yes, the State of the Union address. Well, we'll be honoring this next week as well, because next week I will be in Los Angeles and can do the call from my little hotel room. Who knows, at 6 p.m. out there, but then at 9 p.m. for those of you in the Los Angeles area. Yes, they've given me the fantastic time slot of my Trickster Training Council in person. At 9 p.m. on Monday the 11th, if anybody wants to come by live, so I'll be able to do both. Yes, okay. So that will be right before Shrove Tuesday, Mardi Gras, and the State of the Union address. And I might find a venue in Los Angeles whereby to watch Obama's State of the Union. I want to set it up as an invitational field for all of us. What I'm encountering a little bit among Los Angeles beings is they want to be mad at Obama. We go, yes, decry, feel free, and then bless. And there's a resistance to blessing until now. Okay, remember, by the power of our mojo, dissolving, the energetic capacity to dissolve certainty. Let's not, you know, let's not tyrannical, impositional certainty, you know, constrain liberating mystery. There we go. And it's that kind of feeling. And see, the tricky part, because we're all working on this together and want to create a resonant field, is, you know, I find this in my self-confessional self of where we can get snagged, and then we move on through it, we flow on through it, we dance on through it. How to not get finger-waggy about and righteous about people being finger-waggy and righteous. Ha, 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 ha. Yes, bless them all, you know. But it's interesting, so everything in the mystery play would invite us to everything we think or say, you know, little bouts of experimentation. We just add part of myself, you know, the resistant to blessing part of myself, the grumpy, you know, oppositional part of myself, the whatever it is, the person who made a movie I don't like part of myself, and as we mentioned before, you know, many, many, many great ways of working with dreams. I want to get back to Azima. And many, many, there's a profusion. See, part of the dynamic that is great now, and why there's more than one of us, you know, breathing, because everyone's got a unique assignment and a unique affinity. Part of the Uranus-Pluto conjunction of sort of 62 to 69, 70 really-ish, those years, is it unlocked Uranus. You know, all kinds of secret teachings and esoteric practices and spiritual this and myriad cosmologies and unbelievable amounts of information unlocked, you know. And then now, the Uranus-Pluto square of the next 2-3 years behind us, before us, is the kind of the first quarter of integrating that. And that's why everybody's got their affinity and their standards. And so I myself like to say a standard for group and for teachings and for practices is the trickster welcome? Can the truth be said? And is there also a field that invites, you know, the experimental and befoibled and imperfect and perfect desire to express and bring things up? You know, that's a good thing, or not. So is trickster welcome? Is there intrinsic equality between Mars and Venus, between men and women, between humans and the flora and fauna? Then how wonderful. And if not, let's just another round of lucidity into the cauldron. There we go. Part of our dynamic, you know, where we are in this journey, again, I'll say it astrologically because it's so fabulous, the patterns, the beauty of the world in which we live and move and breathe and have our being, but again, aspiring to translate it. So we have a mutable T-square here, like, so many possibilities. And dreaming is the realm where it kind of integrates. Dreaming deep, deep midwinter and inviting in a vision and coming back up to the world and the return of Eros, the return of desire, the return of creativity slowly coming back. So that's a mutable T-square. On our way over these next weeks, really, Mars, and slowly Neptune, Mars is kind of the lead being, will come to trine Saturn. Saturn's at its stationing degree. Remember last week we spoke of, again, these ongoing themes of Jupiter was retrograde, goes forward, which is outward, oasis, restoration of the waters of life. Saturn stations to go inward, retrograde all winter at the Renaissance degree. So we're all, you know, outward story, inward deep dedication. Dedication magnetizes opportunity. Right, that's the reason I brought up the panel on money. Those women are wealthy, okay? So I can go like, oh, I don't know about money. But yes, I do. I know mythology. We all bring our medicine to the cauldron. the restoration of intimacy to the world and to make everything in an imaginative way an ally. And whatever is daunting to us, you know, shape-shifted. It's like Harry Potter, some great things in Harry Potter. Remember, anything that was scary, you know, ridiculous, make it kind of adorable and foolish. Or make it an ally of some kind. I wonder how this could be an ally. And that's, again, a field. Whatever template, here comes Saturn. Okay, so there's a profusion of many ways we could go and many visions, each one of us, and even what we could do together, many, many things there. And then slowly the dedication kind of grows the form and it comes into accord. So we have this feast of possibilities. And I like it. We could do this, we could do that. Jupiter is also sextiling Uranus. The two biggest path openers are in positive, opportune accord. And then what we get to kind of watch and self-observe and play is we go, I could do this, I could do that, I could do these things, you know, and I could move to here, I could have two houses, I could do it, whatever. And then I just was talking to, again, one of my great inner council allies and going, well, I could do this and maybe I want to do that. And she goes, yes, you could, but don't let it trouble you because where you are right now is perfect too. And I was like, oh, that's good too. Yeah, because it is so mysterious. We want to entertain possibilities, but not in a way that they sneakily become burdens, like, ugh. So here is the fest. And then we consider with the stars, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this. And then slowly underneath it all, Mars moves for its alliance with Saturn. We go, out of all these things, what's the direction that's emerging? What's the next thing we desire? Now, Mars' desire, and we remember, old-timers, young-timers, esotericists going way back, you know, oh, gathering of pragmatic, mystic, great, wonderful team, desire. Western Occult Mystery School is the path of desire. Not transcendence, counting your breath, doing nothing, although that's wonderful too. It is desire in which the Kabbalistic scholars, the tarot card teachings would say, do not do anything until you have answered the question, what do you desire? What's the next thing? And don't make it vague and vast or what you think you should want, you know, what comes up? What comes up? You know, just even for each one of us now, like, what do we want? And no shame, no blame, whatever comes up, you know, is probably part of the weird for us to dree, because this is where we can really help each other. Whatever now and tonight and this week, we wonder, what is I desire? What's the next thing I desire? And what's beautiful about Mars in Pisces, the highest octave of intimacy and the restoration of intimacy to the world, and how money is very related to Neptune and water and flow, and there's a lot there, and so much of the world's dealings with money is very abstract. I'm going to have Catherine explain to me these grown-up things, like what again is a derivative? I every now and then I get it, and then it's like, what? What is a hedge fund? I can go hedgehog fund. I can relate to that. I have to turn it into a hedgehog. I have to turn it into a hedgehog fund. Oh, how wonderful. All these bankers are investing in the benefit of hedgehogs. I wish it were true. Because having been hanging out with, you know, mega, traveling across borders everywhere as a curious scouting person. But the abstraction of money, the big money is made on nothing, on abstract nothingness. And the realm in which these people live who are making their money in abstract ways is very abstract, very glass and metal, very postmodern angle kind of thing. No hedgehogs, no little warm furry things. No, if there are dogs, they are shut into the bedroom. If there are children, they're sent away to boarding school. It's clean and clinical and abstract. The remote killing of video games and drones, very, very abstract, very abstract. The antidote is let everything be more intimate, you know, again, you know, so that money becomes, you know, kind of tangible, the watery realm, that it be slowed down and make things grow. And again, Martine Prechtel says, to feed our indigenous soul, let us have only those things that we know who made them. Now, that's his pretty high standard there. I'm doing pretty good. But he says, start with 5 square feet, you know, and really the essence liberated from the specificity of that, the energetic direction. Remember, Mars says it's the direction that we're going that matters. We can be befoibled and discombobulated and whatever, but it's the stated intention and dedication. So the dedication of that, you know, fun guideline is so that everything, that we're intimate with everything. We go, oh, well, this cup, my friend gave me that in this wonderful place. And so when I drink from it, I think of my poet friend, Fran, and the wonderful times I had in that place, you know. Or I know who made this sweater that I've been wearing every day all winter because it feels so wonderful. I know that person, and it's a story. We're feeding the story. These are not abstract. You know, again, we're weaving and mending kinship and intimacy. Ah, very good. And where I think we want to go, wait, let me get back to the email. But I think we want to go to the animal realm. And as Azima had said first in your first email, the State of the Union address, you know, taking a look at the state of our connection with all of kingdom, yes, the real state of the union, and the restoration of intimacy, you know, so which the restoration of intimacy, that really, that's handles so much if we cloak it in imagery and feeling, if we, again, invite it, we proffer metaphors whereby, you know, energy can incarnate into the world, magnetizing metaphors, you know, the cloak, the table, our council here, the phantasmagoric associative realm of imagery and feelings invites intimacy into the world and the blessing, you know, may it be, you know, that money become intimate and we can, you know, and it be good for all beings. Even that's a little abstract there. May we see it flowing and irrigating and cherry trees blooming out of the sides of once barren, you know, cement canals. You know, may the grass be coming up underneath it. May nutrients, may the chorus of all that we love, the birds that we feed, the whatever, just you get the gist of it, you know, going kind of that way. And wait, now I've lost the second Azima. Oh, here we go. There we go. I'm going to assume that if you send an email during the call, you don't mind if I read it. Azima. Dreams in 40 years of leading dream groups and classes. Let's hear more about that at some point. Brothers in attendance have been few and far between, but in the class beginning in 2 days, more men than women, first time ever. Yes. Oh, that's fabulous. What a great scouting report. Love this in terms of Neptune and the transformation of the masculine metaphor, I guess. Yes. Oh, good thing to bring up. Transformation of singers with great voices. Johnny Mathis's first album was a jazz album, and he was enormously talented in that genre, but went for the smarmy romantic sound instead. Too bad. Ooh, nice. Thank you. Ah, very good. Ah, very nice. Oh, that's really wonderful. I do want to come back to that. Yes, and Laura, blessings be to you. I'm saying feel allied with Obama as fellow idealistic pragmatist. Yeah. Yeah, again, kinship, and the composting of bitter righteousness within ourselves, and then as a blessing to spiral forth. again, becoming like what we want. Yes, there's that. Okay, there's very good. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. Well, it is, you know, just to point out to the missive, and do let me know if people have been having a hard time accessing the Trickster Training website, because that's where we're putting most of the things now in our slow, dreamy transition. And if there's some kerfuffle or problem, let me know. But yeah, the Ravens, okay, that's good. Yes, our collective cultural animism has been relegated to sports teams and cars until now. And I like that the Ravens, you know, I don't watch football. I did watch the Super Bowl, so I go, do I care? Do I care who wins? And then I sort of did. You know, I was like, I like Ravens. I like purple. You know, I like New Orleans, rooting for even Ray Lewis, the man whose past is shrouded by accusation of murder, his last thing, but who has a vision and speaks in a, you know, iffy way, with challenge, you know, but anyway, so I like that. But it was, you know, it is a theme, you know, in Downton Abbey and Homeland and Elementary. I'm watching those things for you, accused men, you know, of something bad, supported by stalwart, you know, women who love them, you know, and even unto Obama, who carries the shadow of those killed by drones, where many people stop and go, and we go, yeah, but let's go to Scheherazade. Yes, enter Scheherazade, the quintessential woman trickster redeemer, whose dedication extends even unto her sociopathic murderer of women dingbat husband King Shahryar, whom she redeems by the power of story, blessing, eloquence, you know, general, you know, spiritedness, like Inanna, okay, like, you know, again, this kind of quality. And I love, you know, Azima going, more men than women in the dream group. Well, this is very Mars Neptune. Because as a blessing to our team, we go, right, the masculine wants to be divinatory mystic. You know, the masculine within us all, the Mars thing, it wants to go dreamy. And that's really the blessing. And that's the part of everyone. You know, again, Hawthorne says, let us not lose kinship even with the guiltiest among us. And that's part of the experiment I've set before myself, to talk to people with very different views, conservatives and all, but to speak to the mythological, dreaming, idealistic, romantic part of everybody. It's in there. Part of the fabulous subversiveness of this beautiful language is everyone somewhere has a dreamer, an idealist, an augur, a diviner, a teacher, an artist, a storyteller, all these planet qualities, a hero, a thing, you know, a trickster, you know, but it might have gone to sleep, you know, until now. And whatever we speak to in ourselves or in another is what we are feeding, stirring. And we go, okay, some things are always true, but times when they are truer, it says, especially now. You know, whatever we speak to in ourselves and in another is what we're feeding and inviting. And again, we're allowed to blow it. I mean, this isn't tiptoey. It's like, you know, we're all befoibled, and all signs have their opposites. You know, Cancer is, just for the fun of it, Scorpio in a house coat, the most generous of people, and stingy, you know. You know, I mean, everything's got, you know, we're all doing that thing, you know. And again, no shame, no blame, as long as we're playing. We're in the game. In ludo, illusion means in the game. De ludo, delusion, de ludo means out of the game. So de ludo, the biggest delusion is separateness. You know, the most truest approximation illusion is we're all in this dream together. You know, we're dreaming the world into being together, and not just the humans, everything that dreams, and probably everything does dream, and then we are dreamed within the larger thing that is dreaming, and our capacity to dream is the part of us that participates in the big dream. You know, it goes on and on and on forever like that. So the Neptunian animal shape-shifting, remember Mars, desire, what do we want? Let us everyone wonder and maybe have an image of a desirable thing without censorship, going, okay, because it means something. It's a customized tarot card. And then the animal shape-shifting is personal and social strategy. You know, and I think this would be a great moment, Richard Ally, for Yaji Vejna. Right before Yaji Vejna comes in, I just so love this as haunting, deep conjuring of imagery. As this plays, you know, let everyone see, feel what animal, what plant, what spirit is magnetized into one's mind's eye. There we go.
Весна, где бывала весна, где бывала. В лесе зимовала, в лесе зимовала. Красочки садила. Вяночки крутила, вяночки крутила.
Of the positive Mars dreamer. I so love that. And in our mind's eye, I could see creatures that I love, mysterious beings, you know, coming in from the dark around the fire with offerings and reciprocal gifts and blessings. And remember the tangible imagery, you know, our wonderful ally in Texas says heart's desire for a serenity that invites wonder and delight and a sense of safety sufficient so that one is not defensive. And go, yeah, so let's see as a priming of the pump, you know, the little sharp-nosed, curious coyote coming in from the dark to the fire and laying a wonderful cloak of confident comfort around Catherine's shoulders, you know, and go, there you go, confident, backed up, you know, connected to the spirits, skookum, connected to the spirits, completely competent for the work at hand, so that one has no Velcro for other people's grumpitude. It's just not even a factor. Going right, and there we can play. Now, that's why we want to create this field for us, because we're all, you know, vulnerable, you know, going, la, 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 what? Oh, you don't like me? And it's like, no, there we go. you know, that we all, you know, have a cloak, alliances, treaties, gifts, reciprocal giving. You know, it is so, I love feeding the birds, you know, going, and the crows going, ooh, five crows today. Thank you. Thank you. Here's for you. And an exchange. Saturn, when we began this call on the East Coast, you know, just the chart of, the second house is the realm of the marketplace. And Saturn in Scorpio is the marketplace of spirits. And it reminds us, I so love, you know, part of our team council, Robinette Kennedy, saying, you know, in hunter-gatherer society and in most of pre-organized religion animism of the Mediterranean, the relationship between the visible and the invisible, we're in those things here, between the divine and the manifest, was full of reverence, but was much more collaborative than the modern world. Well, the modern world has forgotten that. Goes, oh, yeah. The modern world has defaulted to kind of supplicants, like, oh, come on, let my team win. Oh, come on, get me out of this thing, you know. And Robinette says, no, it was really, it's quite okay to barter with the divine. It is not sacrilegious. This is an experimental realm going, yes, you know, here, but how about this? Well, and I think also it's to proffer individually and collectively to nature, to the animated, let me see how to put this here. Neptune, vast all oneness. So in organized religion or in Islam's prohibition against giving an image to the divine, and then when it gets all into degraded grumpitude about, you know, wanting to kill people who give specific images, before all that, it would just be a proffering of a truth that it's just like, whoa, it is all one big thing, you know. And then also Jupiter and Gemini would say, and it's also 800 monkey gods with accordions and violins, you know. It's one big thing and a gazillion amazing animations of different versions of the divine. All of it. So Hindu, Islam, Sufi, Middle Eastern, Southwestern, New Orleans, Voodoo, syncretism, yes. All of it, you know, all useful by our affinity, and all true, you know. The squares are like all one thing and multiplicity of things. The universe, Neptune, dream world. The multiverse, Jupiter, Gemini, Moon, Sagittarius. We go, both true. These are working illusions in the game. Wonderful. Delusion comes in when one gets grumpy and certain, going, only this, only five monkey gods, and only one big, huge god. so, keeping it in play, you know, so the shape-shifting into the animals, I would invite, you know, again, this wheeling-dealing sounds too corrupt, really, but negotiating, as a spiritual practice, you know, and it doesn't have to be in any way crass. I mean, we certainly want to redeem the marketplace and the idea also of money and resources and also the idea of negotiating a deal, an alliance, a partnership, a working thing, gifts. Creatures give gifts. Now, it's true that Stella mostly takes things, but sometimes she will give things. Certainly delight, wisdom, understanding, interesting pieces of art, all kinds of stuff. And so we give our willingness and our wonder, and we are willing to receive. So many of our team, when I speak in private readings and then also sometimes in talks, but in private readings, without any loss of, it's not like I'm handing out generic stuff. It's like, oh, it really feels right. The realm of vows and spells. So many great people, you know, had of necessity when they were little to vow to not need any help. I'll do it on my own. I don't need any help. And it was valid growing up in crazy circumstance of one kind or another. But then those vows go blub, blub, blub into the Neptunian realm of the unconscious, where they become binding spells and preclude, you know, keep us alone and isolated and make sure that in circumstances we are giving but not receiving, or whatever, any variation on that theme. You know, so the idea of being able to give and receive both, you know, I love the movie Powell Highway. I don't know how many of you have seen it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Modern Vision Quest on the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation, dear to my heart. I spent a summer there. But it's really well done, because as Northern Cheyenne friends have said, you know, we're holy, but we're not that holy. We're not like precious, tiptoey, you know, like, you know, white people trying to be holy, holy. We're not like that. But there's just this great moment where the Modern Vision Quest goes to a special place, this great, great Native American character. And the only thing he's got on him, he's going to eat this candy bar, you know. And then he goes, no, I really want to eat it, but I'm going to put it in the tree as a gift. There we go. And he goes into this reverie and this dream in which the dream world and the actual world blend like it does, like we yearn for it to do. You know, and the coyote appears, and it's just great. It's just great. So it's a wonderful thing to leave gifts for the invisible, you know, out in nature or at crossroads, urban or not, wherever. You know, again, we dissolve the boundaries that... Everything sacred, everything secular. So the idea of giving gifts, going, here, we give you this that I may have. Here's the deal. Or something like it. The shape-shifting, you know, as personal social strategy. So this was coming from, you know, Northern California has a planned coyote hunting contest. We go, oh, humans. But people are working to avert this. And we go, okay. So many people were going, and we go, yes, is the first step. And then how do we become like coyote to form a reciprocal blessing, protective alliance with coyote? Wolves under attack. Oh, we decry. Oh, no. Yes, what's the name of that movie? Pow Wow Highway. It's a wonderful movie. I love it so. It was produced by George Harrison. For very little money, filmed on the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation. It's a visionary activist training film. They have the secular, grumpy, glamorous activist Native American guy, the evil coal company, the extremely authentically humble hero, the transformation of the modern world into a vision quest. You know, the car is the war pony, the Hershey's bar is toxic, but it becomes a sacred gift. The CB radio is the voice of God. The cracked television delivers the important message at the right time. This is very, very, very now. When we say, you know, the world, it's everything speaking to us. You know, and again, we want to maintain profundity, poignancy, kinship, like, oh, and play as well as part of our expanding repertoire of ways we can avail ourselves of being, which is good for the whole team. So to become like coyote to protect coyote, become like wolf to save wolf, become like water to ally with water, and honor, you know, we've gotten so much as a species and as individuals from our animal and plant allies, you know, and some gratitude, you know, here is this for the invisible. It's a great time now to offer humble things. You know, there's the whole, sometimes they're called spirit catchers. We might want to change the name, but many, many cultures have traditions in which one would make biodegradable art, and you would take it. It might be, you know, something drawn on birch bark with sticks and twine, biodegradable, and feathers and rocks and shells, something that one puts one's prayers into. And you take it out somewhere and hang it up and leave it. It's Japanese culture, it's Native American culture, prayer sticks, it's whatever. It's again this communion. Many, many cultures have this. This giving, receiving, giving and willing to receive help in order to be a better giver. There. There we have it. And in a reciprocal way, I'm willing to give this gift that you may return the gift, that I may be a better giver, that you may give me things that make me a better giver, that I may give you, please, here, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, and all of that. So let that be, if you feel an affinity with it, a practice, you know, an experiment. It's, you know, and let's file scouting reports, just going, I did this thing, and also, you know, very cute pictures of what you leave behind. I think that's okay if it doesn't distract one from the dedication. Aquarius season is always this tricky idea of not being tyrannized by image, not looking at one's life too detachedly through the eyes of another. Any Saturn issue is, you know, what does this look like to somebody else? And we just sort of inhale that back in, going, it's wonderful to know what other people think, but from our own balanced, calm, serene realm. So, before we deconvene, see, does anybody have a, oh yes, yes, goats at ease, very good, yes, there, oh, very nice, goat pictures coming in telepathically, excellent, there we go, all right, all right, and even those who thought they did not get the email, well, some people really didn't get the email, we're still working on these things, but some people who thought they didn't get the email actually did, and let everything be a witty fact and a tarot card metaphor. Oh, you thought you were excluded. And again, we get to shapeshift. Excluded? Oh, no. Ah, ecstatic. So I invite us all to kind of practice with that one. I'm having a very good time practicing transforming, like, oh, I didn't get respect or I feel outside, because that's because I'm ecstatic. It's so fun. Autonomous, ecstatic, not dependent upon approval or disapproval from others, not swayed, interested, informed, but not rocked. There we go. So before we, yes, the name of the movie is Pow Wow Highway. I love it. I do love it. I've watched it a million times. I own a copy. Haven't watched it in years. Hungry to do so. But it gives me great delight to show it to others, because we do like having fun with each other. You know, I love, there's a movie, you know, the movies that I love watching a movie I love with people who have not seen it before. I love that. As long as one is not thrown off balance by, oh, I hope they like it, but if they don't like it, nah, just relaxed, friendships with everyone. There we go. I will say this about Stella Coyote and coyotes in general. I don't think they worry about what other people think of them. I'm pretty darn sure. Wolves do. Moondog was, you know, but I really don't think that coyotes are concerned about whether other people like them or not. I'm pretty sure. I mean, they don't want harm, you know, but they're like, it's not one of their distractions. So if that's one's medicine, there we go. And then, you know, all those things. So assembling, inviting in, giving presence, and wondering about one's amakua, you know, who is one's animal spirit ally. It can change. But for now, you know, and giving presence is a way of inviting in mystery. Giving a present is a way of inviting in mystery. It's very, very available now. So we might all, if no one wants to chime in, we might all hold a desire, something we would really like, and nobody's watching. Nobody's watching. Nobody is going to disapprove of your desire. It's just something that's going to make each one of us more us in a delighted way that allows us to dree our weird, to contribute our gift. Anything is fine. Okay, so everybody just kind of hold that in one's heart. And then after Richard unmutes us all, we will just, you know, give voice in our animal, crow, coyote, wolf, humming along, whistling kind of way to bless each other and invite in mystery. All right. Let it be, oh, Richard, on the count of three.
you.